Memorial Day, 1948. Today we unite in paying tribute to the war dead of the nation, in the words of our chief executive, a fitting occasion on which American citizens who have ever been devoted to the ways of peace may direct their attention to the human losses resulting from the ravages of war. We speak to you now from the Arlington National Cemetery, across the Potomac from the nation's capital, the scene today of the annual Memorial Day ceremonies. The program will feature an address by the President of the United States. To introduce the presiding officer is Lee R. Pennington, past Department Commander of the American Legion. Mr. Pennington.
Mr. President and honored guests, from 1868 to 1928, the Grand Army of the Republic annually held Memorial Day services on May the 30th. As time took its toll, these veterans of the war between the states were no longer able to close ranks and carry on without assistance. Recruited as comrades in arms to continue the program were the United Spanish War veterans, veterans of foreign wars, the American Legion, and the disabled American veterans. Mr. James G. Yeadon, president of the GAR Memorial Day Corporation for the past 19 years, and one of its first directors, is a Spanish War veteran. His service to the corporation for 20 years has been enthusiastic and outstanding. Mr. Yeadon.
Thank you, Commander Pennington. I'll ask the audience to please arise for the invocation by Major General Luther D. Miller.
Let us pray. Lord God of hosts, we remember the heroism of our military comrades in time of trial and death, those who endured with valor, those who suffered with patience, those who gave their lives for a better day. Help us never to hold cheaply what has cost so much, never to fritter away lives needed in the place of others gone, never to fail in loyal service for the high hopes of humankind, on behalf of which our comrades gave their all. We stand subdued, chastened in the shadow of their sacrifice. Bless those whose eyes are dimmed by the thought of far-off graves, and all who in any wise share their cup of sorrow. May we all serve our country loyally by unceasing devotion to that righteousness which alone exalteth a nation. With great might, O God, establish thy kingdom throughout the world. We ask it in thy name. Amen.
That was the invocation by Major General Luther D. Miller, Chief of Chaplains, Department of the Army. You will next be privileged to listen to the Star-Spangled Banner, sung by James L. Bailey, a concert soloist, accompanied by the United States Marine Corps Band.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting. Star-spangled banner yet wave.
Mr. Bailey. Now, if you'll just remain standing, complying with the joint resolution of the Congress and the proclamation of the President calling upon the nation to join in a moment of prayer for peace, we ask that all people join at this time with General Luther D. Miller, the Chief of Chaplains of the United States Army, in this prayer. General Miller.
Let us pray. O Lord, Father of all men, we come to Thee in humble supplication. Thou knowest we have strayed much from Thy laws. Yet, O God, Thou hast blessed us abundantly. Thankful for these blessings and hopeful in the promise of Thy forgiveness, we now beseech Thy special guidance and care. In this world of mortal men, wars and threats of wars beset us. Jealousies and rivalries of nations plague us. Fears are all about us. So we turn to Thee, O God, to ask that in Thy good time, peace may be restored to all nations of men. We ask that men may live together in understanding and respect. We ask that governments may rule in Thy wisdom. We ask that intolerance, bigotry, and greed, as between nations and men and races, may be overcome by the forces of Thy will. We ask that this United States and its people may be guided by Thee, and that its mothers may be spared the sorrows, and its sons the sacrifices of further war. Bless our leaders with wisdom. Show us the way to a better understanding one with another among our own people. To that end, we seek Thy benediction and light, confident in faith that Thy will be done and Thy good purpose will triumph. This we ask in Thy name. Amen.
You may be seated, please. Mr. James J. Bailey, the concert soloist of the day, will now bring us There Is No Death. Mr. Bailey.
They know they with every breath. All is eternal night. There is no death.
You'll now hear Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, a recitation by past Department Commander Harlan Wood of the American Legion. Mr. Wood.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as the final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but we can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be here dedicated to the unfinished work which they who struggled here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us, the living, to be here dedicated to the unfinished task which reigns before us, that we here highly resolve that these honored dead shall not have died in vain, but that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Major, I'm afraid I can't get in there. All right. I can't get it in now. I may get it later. All right, go ahead then.
National Cemetery, focal point of the nation's tributes to its war heroes, we bring you the annual Memorial Day services. In a few moments, you will hear an address by the President of the United States. Presiding today is James G. Yeadon, President of the GAR Memorial Day Corporation, who will introduce the President. a moment, the United States Marine Band is playing the famed Recessional. Mr. Yadin.
Ready? You will next be privileged to listen to the Memorial Day address by the President of the United States.
Mr. Chairman, fellow Legionnaires, fellow servicemen and servicewomen everywhere, this is a most solemn occasion. Just a few moments ago, it was my privilege to place a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. I place that wreath in the name of the people of the United States and of the citizens of the United States everywhere. All over the world today, meetings such as this are being held to commemorate the service which our men and women rendered for the freedom of the world, for the freedom of the individual, and for the right to live in peace as we choose to live, to think what we please, to worship as we please, and to control our own government as we please. I wonder if it ever occurred to you that in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, in South America, in Central America, everywhere, there are graves of service men and women who died for liberty. This country, as you know, is made up of all races and all creeds. People from Poland, people from Yugoslavia, people from Germany, people from France, people from Great Britain, people from Africa, make up our population, and we live peaceably side by side. That's our ambition for the whole world. We want peace in the world. We want peace founded on justice. That's the fundamental platform of our foreign policy. That means that the United States has always stood and always will stand for peace in the world. We are here today to pay tribute to those who have given their lives that liberty may survive in the world. Let us continue to remember that those men and women have not died in vain. We must see that peace in the world is implemented on the basis of the rights of the individual, of the rights of men and women everywhere to freedom of worship, freedom from care, freedom from want. Let us not forget that this unknown soldier died for just those things. I hope that these celebrations all over the world, in memory of those who gave their lives for liberty, will emphasize the fact that the government of the United States works only for peace in the world. And in order to attain that peace, we must have the ability to enforce it. May God give us that strength and that ability.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the President of the United States. As the President leaves the amphitheater, the Marine Band plays the honors, ruffles and flourishes, and hails to the chief.
President joined us in the services today, not only in his official capacity of Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Services, but as a fellow veteran experienced in actual combat. He is leaving to participate in the services of the Fleet Reserve Association at the Watergate here in Washington. Next, you'll be privileged to hear The Old Rugged Cross by James L. Bailey, accompanied by the United States Marine Corps Band. Mr. Bailey.
Till my trust.
All right. We'll have General Logan's order establishing Memorial Day by Mr. Albert M. Armstrong, the department commander of the VFW of the District of Columbia. Mr. Armstrong.
Headquarters, the Grand Army of the Republic, Washington, D.C., May 5, 1868, General Orders Number 11. The 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. In this observance, no form or ceremony is prescribed, but post and comrades will, in their own way, arrange such fitting services and testimonials of respect as circumstances may permit. We are organized, comrades, as our regulations tell us, for the purpose, among other things, of preserving and strengthening those kind of fraternal feelings which have bound together the soldiers, sailors, and marines who united to suppress the late rebellion. What can aid more to assure this result than by cherishing tenderly the memory of our heroic dead? We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. All that the sacred wealth and taste of the nation can add to their adornment and security is but a fitting tribute to the memory of her slain defenders. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and the going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. Let us then, at the time appointed, gather around their sacred remains and garland the passionless mounds above them with choicest flowers of springtime.
And with the reading of General Logan's order establishing Memorial Day, we conclude this special program. You have heard the President of the United States speaking at the annual Memorial Day exercises being held in the amphitheater of Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac from the nation's capital. This broadcast came from Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.